You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show, and Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is back with us. He's online with the Crossroads Initiative at dritaly.com. He's also a professor at Catholic Distance University, cdu.edu. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Annie.
Well, Doc, this is a time of year that we express gratitude for all of the gifts that God has given us, including the gift of our Catholic faith. What do you think are some ways that we can show the Lord how grateful we are?
Well, first, I'll go on the negative side and say one way that we kind of thumb our nose at the Lord is when he gives us gifts and we leave them wrapped up in the closet instead of opening up and using them. So the very first step of gratitude is to actually use and enjoy the gifts that he's given us and to give him thanks for those things. And I think our faith is that way, but the whole Catholic tradition is so incredibly rich. The Lord has given us not cheese and crackers to survive on the way to heaven, but he's given us a feast, a veritable feast. And you see that really in the sacraments. You see it in the Word of God, the Scriptures. You see it in the teaching of the Church that illumines the Scriptures. You see it in the saints, the lives of the saints, the writings and the teaching of the saints. There's just so much. And obviously, we can't dig into all of that at once, and we spend a lifetime exploring that. But a lot of us don't explore it very much. I think, honestly, a lot of us are kind of like on autopilot to some degree. You know, we may pray on a regular way. We may go to a retreat once in a while or something, but we're not constantly unpacking the gifts. We're not constantly learning in the way that a lot of us do learn when it comes to various things we're interested in. You know, like, it's amazing to me how much time guys often spend on sports, learning sports stats, and know everything about a team and its players, and, you know, a pitcher's earned run average. And yet, when it comes down to memorizing Scripture, knowing Scripture, for example, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. That's not me. So I think the Lord's calling us really is a sign of gratitude to open up the gifts and start using them, which means learning, which means using the mind that he's given us to unpack and understand more deeply the truth of faith.
You know, it actually reminds me of the gospel passage that we just heard recently at Sunday Mass, the parable of the talents. What do you see as the message there?
Yeah, it's simple. Use it or lose it. The Lord gives us, he gives us the talent of our intellect as one of the talents, but he also gives us the talent or the gifts of this deposit of the faith. You know, we the story, one guy, you know, the master deposits money with each of three servants. It's a lot of money, by the way. A talent is worth thousands and thousands of dollars. So, he deposits this money, and two of them go out and invest it and double it, and one guy buries it. He conserves it, but he doesn't lose it, but he doesn't develop it, and the master's pretty ticked off. And so he takes it from him and gives it to another guy who's going to make good with it and do something with it. And so I think when it comes down to, for example, muscles, you got to use your muscles or you'll lose them. They atrophy if you don't use your muscles. Faith is like a spiritual muscle. It needs to be developed. One of the ways it's developed, it becomes more intense. It develops intensively when you push against trials. And I don't encourage anyone to pray for trials. Just the Lord's going to give them to you. Just ask him to give you the grace to respond to them when they come. But he also develops faith extensively, which means you broaden your faith through understanding. And so if we're not working on understanding, our faith is not going to expand. It's going to contract, and we're going to be sitting ducks, and so are our kids and our neighbors and our friends going to be sitting ducks for the atheists of the world and all the propaganda that comes to us through the entertainment media and through the educational establishment to say that God's not real, this is a bunch of fairy tales, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got to develop that, and that's part of what, you know, my whole ministry has been about at the Crossroads Initiative, and also what the Catholic Distance University is about, a place where I actually teach.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get to that in just a second, but I want to stick with this parable of the talents for just a second. As you mentioned, that servant, the last servant who received one talent, you know, he didn't waste the money, he didn't spend it, he didn't steal it, he didn't even lose it. And he goes to his master and says, I wasn't a bad servant, master. Here's your money back. And in the homily that I heard after that gospel passage at Mass, Dr. D'Ambrosio, was, you know, basically, we can't just go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I wasn't a bad servant. I was a good person. That's not really what the master wants.
Yeah, honestly, God is like a businessman in this parable, and he demands a return on investment. If you gave your money for retirement to a stockbroker and the stockbroker didn't lose it, but after 20 years it's not grown any, you wouldn't be happy.
Right.
And God's not going to be happy either. So, you know, we're called not just to survive, but we're called to bear fruit. And if you remember just to switch parables to your sower and the seed, you know, some bear fruit 30, some 60, some hundredfold. But all that is multiplication. One little seed turns into 30 or 60 or 100. That's what God wants, and that's what we should want, and we should desire with all of our hearts, and we should work for. And really, bearing fruit is fun, and growing in faith is really exciting. It's enjoyable. I just remember at 16, I had a conversion where I went from being a Sunday Catholic to a disciple, an intentional disciple, where Jesus becomes the center of my life. And I couldn't learn enough. And I think a lot of people have probably experienced that, some sort of an awakening in their life who are listening to this broadcast. But the problem is sometimes that'll slow down and you get distracted, and that hunger to grow and learn gets displaced by all the cares of life and all the other stuff you got to do. And so we need to rekindle that hunger to learn about more about our faith. Every single one of us needs to rekindle that and just kind of examine our conscience and say, you know, are we feeding that? Are we making time to feed that fire, feeding ourselves with the truth, whether it be, directly in Scripture? When's the last time we ever picked up the Catechism and pondered it and read it deeply? Are we reading Lives of the Saints? You know, that every canonization of a new saint or beatification, like Blessed Silanus Casey, gives us an opportunity to learn about a new person who illumines the Lord's truth and the gospel in a different way, in a unique way. That's the beauty of the diversity of all the saints. So anyway, that's what I think the parable of talents is about, is going after it. It's about taking initiative. It's about taking a little risk. It is to take a little risk to engage in learning your faith. It's a little scary sometimes. You haven't learned for a while. You feel a little bit inadequate, you know. Worth it.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, you know, you devote your whole life to trying to reach out to fellow Catholics to help enrich their faith, to help enrich their knowledge of the faith. And what kind of resources do you have over at the Crossroads Initiative in this regard?
Well, one thing I'll just say is that we began a website in 2003 that's one of the most unique and the richest in the Catholic world, and it's called Crossroads Initiative. Or you can get to it by dritaly.com, dritaly.com. But what's there is not just, you know, occasional posts about current issues, but we're talking about excerpts, the best excerpts from the Fathers of the Church that are just one page long with beautiful graphics, show up on a phone, are categorized according to Eucharist. Well, last night I had dinner with a young lady who's made a pilgrimage from evangelical life now to Anglo-Catholic. She's in an Anglo-Catholic church, but she's never quite understood the Eucharist. And so we had a conversation about the Eucharist last night. Well, she wants to learn more. On my website, there's a whole library on the Eucharist,
yeah.
Contemporary teaching by me, but also the best excerpts from Aquinas, from Augustine, from, you know, these short little things that you all find in one place on the Eucharist. But the same thing is true for so many other topics. So, you know, I encourage people to go to dritaly.com and go to the library page and explore it, especially as we enter into Advent. There's a whole Advent Christmas library of resources just for the season to unpack the meaning of the season, make it deeper. So that's one resource, Anna, that I'd like to offer everybody listening to the broadcast.
And I really want to endorse it as well, because Crossroads Initiative has been a great resource for me in doing research to prepare for the morning show on a daily basis. And, you know, another thing that I think that not enough Catholics know about is the resources that are available through Catholic Distance University. And in your spare time, you're a professor there, right?
I am, and it's been a delight. It's been a couple of years now that I've been teaching online for Catholic Distance University, and I teach students that want to get a master's degree. But there's also Catholic Distance University courses that are called continuing ed courses that are for anybody, even if you don't feel like you're wanting to or competent to get into a master's program. There's tremendous courses on scripture, on all sorts of aspects of doctrine and morality, without a lot of pressure, without a lot of papers and things like that, but really good, disciplined, solid study that you can do online around your busy schedule. But I teach those who do that for a master's degree. And I have people who are like, some live abroad. You know, I have one student right now in Germany. He's with the U.S. military. In fact, we have a lot of military people. I had one guy from China, you know, who is teaching English second language as a student. But it's amazing, you know, when you go online, it's up education to so many people because you can do it at your own pace and you can do it, you know, around your schedule.
Yeah, and they have just like 3-week continuing education courses that you can choose from, topics on like scripture, doctrine, church history, spirituality. I mean, these are not huge time commitments.
They're not. And I will tell you something about the master's program, which is different. I mean, that takes a little bit more time.
Sure.
But who's called to that? Well, the Lord is calling a lot more people to really discipline study of faith. Because we need people out there who are, even if they're not professionals in the church, you don't have an aspiration to become a director of religious education or a youth minister or anything like that, but the Lord has you doing serious volunteer work, or you just really want to understand your faith better. This is a description of the kind of students I have in my master's class. And you know, I've been doing this online for 2 years, but I've taught students like this who got master's degrees for the last 25 years. Some of those people are doing some incredible things right now, who started that sort of way. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers was in classes with me for 3 years, many years ago. Many of you guys know of Deacon Harold, who's now doing some pretty awesome things. Patrick Madrid was in class with me many, many years ago in the 90s. You know, lots of folks who are doing great things for the Lord felt the call first to learn more and took the challenge of a master's program that was flexible and worked around a busy schedule, and the CDU program is that to the max in terms of flexibility. So I encourage people to explore it. Come and visit cdu.edu course offerings, you know, and think about taking a course. Give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of those continuing ed seminars, those 3-week-long things, they say on the website, can be as low as $30. So it's really affordable to do this as well. Now, Doc, I know one of the favorite aspects of your work with the Crossroads Initiative is leading pilgrimages. How does that play into this whole conversation?
Well, it plays into it in a couple of ways. Number one, a pilgrimage is a spiritual experience, of course. So it's when we go to the Holy Land, people encounter Christ in a new and very powerful way in these special places where the history of salvation was worked out. We have adoration in the dark, you know, at night, in Garden of Gethsemane. That is such a mind blower, watching an hour with the Lord. We're on the top of Mount of Beatitudes and reading the Beatitudes where they were first pronounced. You know, that's pretty amazing. Sailing the Sea of Galilee. So these are really powerful spiritual experiences. But we're teaching the whole time is the deepest, richest, most intriguing Bible study you will ever have in your life. Myself and my assistant guide are teaching about the scriptures, and when you're in the places where they happen, and there's an olive tree right there, and you're reading, you know, one of the texts about, you know, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. And, you know, you can actually see it, visualize it. But this pilgrimage is also a course for CDU, so people can come on this just as and get education, or they can come and get undergraduate credit for it, or graduate credit.
That's awesome. I couldn't think of a better combination than to go on pilgrimage with you and also get undergraduate credit for it. That's so cool. We'll have dritaly.com and cdu.edu linked at sunrisemorningshow.com for listeners to check out more. Dr. D'Ambrosio, thank you so much.
You are welcome.